I'm an alcoholic myself. I drank from, you know, buying bottle from him too. It's, you know, I'm glad they're doing this.
The dry village of Akiak banishes an alleged bootlegger. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Friday, April 12th. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, a vision for the future of Arctic Alaska.
If you were looking down from Mars in 2050, the western coast of Alaska would be all lit up.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Do you own a business or manage employees? Research shows that employees who feel supported at work with their parenting challenges are more loyal and productive. When you let employees know they can attend a teacher conference, stay at home with a sick child, or adjust their schedule to secure quality child care, you contribute to stronger families. That's Strengthening Families Alaska Style. This message is sponsored by Alaska Children's Trust, THREAD, and Best Beginnings.
With the legislature scheduled to gavel out on Sunday, lawmakers seem determined not to have to go into special session. Although there is some talk of extending the session for a few days to tie up loose ends. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez has had to endure some late nights and early mornings this week.
Around 1 a.m. on Friday, the House passed a bill that would put the Kinnick Arm Bridge project under the control of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. So I was up for that. Basically, the point of doing that is to scrap the current management of the project and put it into the hands of people they trust. That corporation just finished shuttling through the in-state gas line project, and Democrats jokingly referred to the agency's head as the Republican czar of competence. The thing is, though, there's some truth to that. He's known as being sort of a closer when it comes to mega projects, and he's not expected to go through with something if it's seen as uneconomical. I guess continuing on the theme of late nights here, there is a vote scheduled for that in-state gas line project tonight. It's already passed through one body, and it's expected to go through this one as well.
And of course, you're talking about Dan Fauske, the head of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
That's correct, Lori.
Alexandra, for the past few years, Governor Sean Parnell's top priority has been to bring down taxes on oil companies with the intention of spurring more production. Did he get that done?
Well, right now where things stand is a debate is scheduled for tomorrow on the House floor. The bill was moved out of its last committee of referral last night, and the version that they put forth was seen as kind of a document that might please some of the swing votes in the Senate. It's expected to cut taxes on oil companies at about $3.5 billion over the next 5 years at currently projected forecasts. But one of the big problems in this whole discussion is there's been so little certainty in what it would actually do. Democrats came out with a Department of Revenue document yesterday that showed that it could cost a lot more than that if ConocoPhillips only expects a 3% decline instead of the number the state's currently using. Other state documents have shown that if a version of the governor's tax bill were applied to last year's taxes, it would have cost the state about $2 billion in revenue. Some legislators wouldn't mind that. They see that as a way of making Alaska more attractive to oil companies. That's been a buzzword we've been hearing a lot. But that number is a bit too big for some Republicans in the center who don't think that Alaska needs to be quite supermodel attractive to change the investment climate.
The governor has also made a push to change the way the state handles permits. One of his bills that would have affected water rights and made it so that individuals can't get their own water reservations was expected to get a vote this week. Where do things stand with that piece of legislation?
Well, that bill has been on the calendar pretty much every day this week. It passed out of committee after getting a lot of opposition from folks in Bristol Bay and people in the fishing industry. They describe it as a bill that would make it easier to go ahead with Pebble Mine. it doesn't look like it's going to get a vote this session. Talking to a few people, it sounds like it's effectively dead. One senator wanted an amendment that would guarantee protection for salmon streams. Another just wants more time. But basically, because this is a governor's bill and not any single legislator's bill, there isn't really anyone willing to kind of force this through at this point. If it's going to cause a hard vote, leadership has other items they'd rather put their energy into at this point.
Thanks, Alexandra, for checking in with us and giving us that update.
My pleasure, Lori.
APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reporting from Juneau. The Akiak Tribal Court voted this week to banish an alleged bootlegger and drug trafficker from the village indefinitely. KYUK's Mark Earhart reports.
We have a banishment court scheduled for today, April 10, 2013, at 2 p.m. Qanaqstaqvat Tribal Court versus Joseph Miranda.
The 31-year-old Miranda of Anchorage is accused of bringing alcohol and illegal drugs to sell in the dry village of Akiak. Miranda has ties to the community through his girlfriend, and villagers say he comes into town several times a year, staying for weeks at a time. On several occasions, tribal officials say the Alaska State Troopers were contacted about Miranda's alleged bootlegging, but charges were never filed. So the tribal court in Akiak took the matter into its own hands.
Welcome to the voicemail of...
Yeah, Joseph Miranda, this is Akiak Tribal Court calling. Can you call us at...
Miranda never phoned into the hearing. In fact, officials say he hasn't responded to three notices, several calls, and an ad in the regional newspaper informing him of this court proceeding. In a private meeting, tribal court judges voted to banish Miranda from the village until he makes contact with the court. Mike Williams Sr. is a tribal leader, but not one of Akiak's three court judges. He made the recommendation before the court to banish Miranda. Williams says the alcohol and drugs moving into the village are hurting the people and the tribe of Akiak.
And it is very, very hard to deal with these issues. It's hard on this family. It's hard on all of us. It's hard on the staff, the tribal court staff, to initiate this kind of thing. But when we see children suffer, when we see domestic violence and everything else, and our young people committing suicide, it creates a lot of problems with our children and with our families. And we have been living with this for a long time in Akiak. And
Williams says the tribe is cracking down on bootleggers.
You know, we've been trying as a tribal court finally in Akiak to begin to take this bull by the horn and deal with it at the tribal level, at the local level.
A small percentage of the village's 300-some residents gathered in the gallery, clapping and cheering at the court's decision. Lena Foss says she is proud the tribal court stood up and did something.
I've witnessed it, I've seen it, and you know, it's a hurtful thing to see our community members, my brothers, my sisters, my relatives drunk because of, you know, the situations that, you know, the people that come and bootleg. I'm an alcoholic myself. I drank from, you know, buying bottle from him too. It's, you know, I'm glad they're doing this. Put a halt to the community where it's hurting the community members.
After the hearing, Williams looked relieved, sitting on a bench in the back of the room. He says the ball is now in Miranda's court.
He needs to contact us, and we will be issuing the order for the tribal police, VPSO, that when he is seen here, that he will be taken into custody until the Qanaqstaqvat tribal court meets with him, and also the tribal council as ordered by the tribal court judges. So he is banned from Akiak until then.
In Akiak, I'm Mark Earhart.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, making sausage for a good cause.
Onion and garlic, chili powder, and toasting up some fennel seeds. Smell that? Does that smell good?
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Join Alaska bars and restaurants from every corner of the state in taking a stand against secondhand smoke. The fact of the matter is, no Alaskan, employee, or customer should suffer the heart disease and lung cancer due to secondhand smoke. The benefits are undeniably positive for Alaskans and for the bottom line. Clean indoor air. It's good for health and it's great for business. For more information on smoke-free workplaces, visit alaskatca.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tobacco Control Alliance.
A Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson soldier is to be sentenced Monday on espionage charges. Army Specialist William Colton Millay, 24, a military policeman, pleaded guilty before a military judge in Anchorage in March to attempted espionage, issuing a false statement, and communicating national defense information, among other charges. Millay was arrested in 2011 on JBEAR by Army counterintelligence special agents on suspicion of attempted espionage. The charges against Millay were the result of a joint investigation conducted by the FBI, Army counterintelligence, and the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, according to John Pennell, Chief of Media Relations with U.S. Army Alaska.
He failed to report multiple contacts with somebody he believed to be a foreign intelligence agent. That's a requirement under Army regulation. He communicated and transmitted national defense information to an undercover FBI agent who he believed was a foreign intelligence agent. He had access to the information through the course of his normal duties and thought that by giving it over, it would be to the detriment of the United States or to the advantage of the foreign nation.
Millay joined the Army in 2007. He had one tour of duty in Iraq. Since his arrest, he has been held at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington. One of Petersburg's small seafood processors is about to get a lot bigger. Tonka Seafoods has bought a long unused cannery building and dock from Trident Seafoods. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein reports.
I'm excited. I'm excited to get out there and start moving things around and try to make a really nice plant out of that out there.
Wendell Gilbert is president of Tonka Seafoods, the custom fish processing company, just finished buying the Mitkoff Cannery building from Trident Seafoods.
So I was really looking forward to this. I've been waiting a long time, and it's just been taking forever to get done. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's do this.
It's a huge step for the small local company. Seth Scrimsher is chief financial officer.
There is a little bit of stress involved going from a smaller operation to making the leap to the larger operation, but definitely relieved that the deal is done.
The plant is close to downtown Petersburg on Mitkoff Highway, just past the ferry terminal.
Everything is basically been stripped out of this plant. It is a bare bones project that we have to build back up from scratch.
Tonka's current plant is located on the first floor of a downtown apartment building and has no waterfront access to take deliveries from fishermen. Having a much larger facility as well as a dock will make a big difference for the company. Gilbert and Scrimsher hope to have their whole business moved out to the new, roomier location by late May and continue with their normal operations for now. The company plans to build up the facility's capacity to handle more fish over the next year. Tonka currently processes less than 1 million pounds of fish a year, according to Scrimsher, who says with the bigger plant, they hope to increase that to between 6 and 7 million pounds for all species.
There's some things we need to do. We need to remodel the ice house. You know, we need to a little remodeling on the dock. So, yeah, there is some facility work we'll need to do before we can expand into the larger fisheries. But we're able to do it. It kind of remodel as we go instead of all at once, so that's the plan.
Scrimsher says Tonka employs 6 people year-round and up to 18 at the peak of the summer. He hopes to double that once the new plant is fully geared up in a year or so. Along with more salmon, he says the company will be looking to buy more halibut, black cod, Pacific cod, and rockfish and other species. They want to eventually get the equipment to process shrimp, and they'd like to expand into flounder, which has not been commercially fished since the 1970s in Southeast. And one note of financial disclosure, I'm a commercial troller in my spare time, and I've sold fish to several of Petersburg's local processing plants, including Tonka. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
The time has come to stop talking and start acting when it comes to changes in the Arctic. That was the message of a talk to the Juneau World Affairs Council this week by Alaska Dispatch owner and publisher Alice Rogoff. Next week, she will be in Washington, D.C. with Iceland's president to announce a new nonprofit designed to promote international cooperation on Arctic issues. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Experts say if sea ice continues to melt at the rate it is today, a new shipping channel will open up through the Arctic Ocean by the year 2050. Alice Rogoff says that scientific prediction informs her vision of Alaska's future.
If you were looking down from Mars in 2050, the western coast of Alaska would be all lit up. There would be some form of commercial activity all the way from Barrow to Dutch Harbor.
Obviously, she says there will be consequences, namely pollution and the loss of subsistence lifestyles. Some communities may disappear, others might see their populations grow. But Rogoff sees an opportunity for the state as a whole to broaden its economy.
We would no longer be an oil dependency.
Rogoff thinks Alaska should take the lead in preparing for the future of the Arctic. For instance, she believes the state should designate Nome as the location for a deep water port, rather than wait for the federal government to make a decision. But she warns preparations for major changes in the Arctic need to happen relatively soon.
First of all, 2050 might be too far down the road. We might need this by 2030. We're talking 20 years. How long does it take to build a port? How long would it take to build a road and a rail line that would link that port complex in Nome to Fairbanks, to the road system, to make it all work as infrastructure for a new and vibrant economy?
Rogoff notes that China and Russia are already pouring billions of dollars into Arctic research and exploration, while the United States spends a fraction of that. But rather than take a negative view, she says the state and nation should be looking for ways to cooperate with other Arctic countries. 10 years ago, Rogoff says, virtually nobody was talking about changes in the region. Today, she says there's a new conference on the subject seemingly every week.
And if you're someone like the president of Iceland who's asked to speak at every one of them, you'd never get off an airplane.
On Monday, Rogoff will be in Washington, D.C. to announce the formation of a new nonprofit, Arctic Circle, with Icelandic President Ólafur Ragnar Grímsson, who she met through her work on Arctic issues. She serves on the nonprofit's advisory board, which also includes Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell and former North Slope Borough Mayor Edward Itta. Rogoff describes Arctic Circle as similar to the World Economic Forum, which brings international leaders in finance and politics to Davos, Switzerland every year to plot global business strategy. But she says it will be for Arctic states and issues.
The notion is we will do these gatherings at least once a year and in a different Arctic location every year, so that as a result of going to the gatherings, we will all become more familiar with one another's Arctic neighborhoods.
The first Arctic Circle conference is scheduled for October 12th through 14th in Reykjavik. Rogoff says she's talked to officials with the Institute of the North, founded by former Governor Wally Hickel, who planned to be in Iceland for the inaugural meeting. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com. Register now for the 2013 Business of Clean Energy in Alaska Conference, May 2nd and 3rd at the Dena'ina Center in Anchorage. This fifth annual conference offers participants an unmatched opportunity to network with national industry experts and learn the latest on policies, programs, and projects in the clean energy industry. Online registration ends on April 26th. More information at www.bceaconference.com or 929-7770. This message sponsored by REAP, your voice for renewable energy.
Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow,
Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamut.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Annie Feit.
This week on AK, raising funds. It's not easy to get people to fork over hard-earned cash, even for a good cause. But over the last decade, Juneau resident Mark Wheeler has perfected the art of fundraising for the annual Big Brothers Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake. Wheeler has a secret weapon that involves throwing in some extra fat. Amanda Compton has the story.
This is the house of Mark Wheeler. It is a happening place. Inside are Wheeler, Alex Andrews, and Aaron Hood, two buddies from a caribou hunting trip last fall, three wives, eight children, several pizzas, and pounds of raw caribou and pork.
I bought a heritage breed, free-range, humanely certified organic pig. So we're gonna mix that with the caribou to make sausage. Bratwurst and some Italian sausage. And we're gonna make like a smoked sausage too, guys, that we decided. Or the Hungarian paprika? Hungarian?
Wheeler is a top fundraiser for the Bowl for Kids' Sake, which takes place in seven communities across the state. People form fundraising teams and celebrate the culmination of their efforts at an annual bowling party. To show his appreciation to those who have donated to his campaign, Wheeler throws in his own personal thank you.
Onion and garlic, chili powder, and I'm toasting up some fennel seeds. Smell that? Doesn't that smell good? I think that's about it. I need to put a little bit of paprika in there, and then we're going to grind it up.
After spicing and grinding various batches of caribou and pork meat, the much-anticipated stuffing process begins. Wheeler's daughter, Celia, takes off with my recorder.
They're making sausage. Do you hear this, people? They're making sausage.
Pig intestine, bought at a local grocery store, was threaded onto the grinder, and in a charade of giggles and greater-than-G-rated jokes, Hood, Andrews, and Andrews' son Angus bend over the grinding machine.
That is amazing sausage.
That is amazing sausage.
Towards the end of the sausage party, Wheeler shows off his new baby.
Hanging in the basement. This is that same pork, and I'm making a prosciutto, which is basically an air-dried ham. I cured it in salt and some spices for about 2 weeks. And then I took it out and I wrapped it in cheesecloth, and it's been hanging to dry for about three, almost 4 months now. I'm gonna wait 6 months and then I'm gonna slice it up.
A week later, at the Taku Lanes Bowling Alley, teams arrive to bowl and celebrate in 1 hour shifts.
Hi. My name is Sherry Patterson. Being a former big, I think it's a vital part of any community. Whenever you can have mentors for children, whenever they have that one-on-one, it's always a plus. Always.
And so what are we doing right here today?
Just all having fun eating pizza and pop and just enjoying the company of each other. Whether you're involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters, if this is the only time of the year that you get to support that, hey, we thank you for being here today. Yes.
Other participants include Claire Richardson and her little brother, Angus, not the sausage-making Angus.
I'm Claire Richardson, and Angus and I have been matched since he was in the first grade. I feel like there's a whole community behind me supporting that mentoring and that relationship, and that's priceless.
Wheeler's team has one of the last slots of the evening, reserved for the 21 and older crowd. Wheeler sits at a table with his teammates, which include Chris Myrtle.
Yeah, we've been raising a lot of money for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. That's a great community organization. We do it for the kids so they don't grow up like us.
Wheeler and Myrtle are the top two individual fundraisers this year.
Mark Wheeler, who raised
chances are good Wheeler will be around next year to continue his reign.
I've seen through my involvement over the past 11 years, seeing kids grow up in the program and see them around the community today, a lot of who they are today came from having these wonderful people in their life, including their parents. And parents play a big role, and Big Brothers and Big Sisters play another big role in helping introduce things to kids that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Wheeler will be thanking his donors in the form of links.
Ooh, hot. Caribou hot dogs come out of the meat. Meat is hot dog.
Words to live by right there. meat and stuff.
Ooh,
you should trademark that right now.
In Juneau, I'm Amanda Compton.
Now it's time for 300 Villages. This week on AK, we're going to the village of Platinum, near Dillingham on the Bering Sea coast.
Mark Moyle. I'm one of two community health aides here in Platinum. I'm also the mayor for the village. Platinum is at the mouth of the Good News Bay on the southern spit, which is comprised of beach gravels and sand. It's covered with vegetation, mostly tundra, surrounded by water on two sides, which is Good News Bay to the east and the Bering Sea to the west. And to the south of us are some short mountains, Red Mountain and Susie Mountain. So back in 1926, a guy by the name of Walter Smith, who was a Native American working at another gold mine in the district, had discovered platinum. And so that's what started this little village, is the discovery of platinum south of us. Three organizations here that employ the folks locally, and that is the tribal organization, the Public Health Corporation, which is Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation out of Dillingham, and Arvik Incorporated, which is the Native store. We also have a new commercial seafood plant here that exploits the salmon resources from the region, which includes the rivers that Eakin, Quinnahook, and Bethel are on. Most of that fish is brought down here to our new plant. It's been here for 4 years. Employs close to 300 people seasonally. It's probably the best area for picking berries. We have 200 to 300 people a year fly in just to pick berries. And the pilots love to take vacations at that time because there are so many five-gallon buckets of berries that are hauled out of here. And, the folks here, it's a small town. It's a family of brothers and sisters. We all know each other real well. We all get along. We all get into our fights. It's a good community. We stick together and support each other quite well.
Mark Moyle is the mayor of Platinum. 300 Villages is AK's attempt to put every community in Alaska on the radio. Thanks for listening to AK this week. We had help from Amanda Compton, Alex Duer, and Dave Waldron. Tune in next week for more unique stories from around the state. I'm Annie Fike.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Mark Earhart in Bethel, Ellen Lockyer in Anchorage, Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg, and Casey Kelly in Juneau. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez also reported from Juneau. Our editor and producer is Annie Fite. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. Josh Edge is our web producer. And I'm Lori Townsend. Have a great weekend.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
ConocoPhillips. The easy oil is gone, and getting to the remaining oil will be a challenge that will require the state and the industry to work together. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. The law firm of Landy Bennett Blumstein. Attorneys who know the people, businesses, tribes, and communities of Alaska. Landy Bennett Blumstein, online at lbblawyers.com.
And by
First National Bank Alaska, helping Alaska's dreams grow since 1922. On the web at fnbalaska.com, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. Children need at least 60 minutes of physical activity each day for good health. So to help your children hit that mark, find fun ways to add more activity to their day. Go for a walk together. Sign up for events in your community. Make time to be physically active as a family. Get out and play with your kids every day. For activity ideas and tips on raising healthy kids in Alaska, visit playeveryday.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.